So the previous song, before we can imagine, I could imagine my grandma, Etta Mae Peters, singing that, because she did. And I'm third generation pastor in my family. Her grandfather, the Reverend John Givens, was a itinerant pastor in Missouri, and he would go from church to church. He had did that, and there's a great story about him, and it's in the local newspaper back there from the Civil War time, so I know it's true. But he was hiding out because he wasn't for one side and he wasn't for the other. He was for God's side, and a Confederate raiding party caught him and down by the Missouri River in the caves, and they took him and put a noose around his neck, put him up on a tree stump, and they were going to hang him. He said, "You know, not a good idea to hang a pastor." And so the guy said, "Well, Pastor, we all ain't been to church in a long time. Preach us a sermon." And he did, with a rope around his neck. It had something to do with turning swords into plowshares. But there's a newspaper account of it. And they let him go. And then my grandmother, Etta Mae Peters, his granddaughter, was a pastor. She was a church pastor down in San Diego back in the 1930s, when women really didn't do that sort of thing. And she was a tent meeting pastor and evangelist up into her 70s. And Grandma could preach like 20 minutes and take two breaths. And if you don't believe me, ask Candy. She's heard one of her tapes. Etta Mae Peters would get going, and she could do what they used to call preach a stem winder. You know, she could just really, really put it out there. And I say that because when we do music like that, you know, I could get going and I could kind of go Pentecostal at the drop of a penny. So it doesn't happen often, but and theologically it's sound, but I can go Etta Mae Peters in a heartbeat, if you can imagine that, since that seems to be what we're doing today. And it is a very important thought. Let me see if this is on. So it is a very important thought. And I do want you to think about it for a moment, because all through human history, you know, people have been asking themselves and others that very question, right? All through the Bible, we read about people who are basically asked, "Can you imagine?" It comes down to, do you have faith? And after all, our belief in God and His Word is based foundationally on faith. Or can you imagine? And why am I dealing with this particularly? Because when Candy and I were back for Christmas back in Indiana, we bought and saw for the first time the movie I Can Only Imagine, which was an awesome movie if you haven't seen it. It's the backstory on how this song came to be. But I want you to think about this. I believe that we can only imagine something from something we have reference to. And by that I mean as example, okay, man wanted to fly. What was his reference? Birds. So he didn't just imagine flight. No, he looked up in the sky and he saw God's creatures flying and said, "Well, why can't we do that?" And now we do it, you know, three times the speed of sound, because God also made us very clever. But that's what I mean when I say that we imagine something from something we have reference to. And additionally, you know, everything that we reference is from our broken, imperfect world. That's our starting point, is a cursed and broken world. Now, originally, the earth, our sky, space, water, plants, animals, everything, and us were perfect. We were created by God to be that way. Right there. And then God saw everything that He had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And that's a 24-hour day, by the way. Then Adam and Eve, with a little assist from Satan, they messed everything up. And from that point on, God that had made everything perfect, it wasn't perfect anymore, because they managed to get it cursed. So we're left to imagine what it might have been like or could be like. Now, for everyone except Adam and Eve, have you ever thought about this? Every person, their kids, everybody, except Adam and Eve, never lived in perfection. They did. And then they were, you know, they had their lease terminated on the Garden of Eden. They were gone. And nobody else ever had anything perfect. So they were the only ones. And then, you know, mankind did what mankind does. Genesis 6:13, and God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth." Now, can you imagine what's going on in Noah's mind? Number one, why, God, do you have to destroy the whole thing? Can't you just spank two or three? Why Noah? And his family, why were they singled out? Would there be enough time to complete the job? Can you imagine being given, you know, you got you and three boys, three daughters-in-law, and Mrs. Noah, and God says, you're going to build this ocean liner. And he said, well, that's going to take like more than 6 weeks. You know, and then there's all for, you know, it's going to take a while. And how do we do that? That's never been done before, God. But he did. He had faith. He took the plans. He imagined what God wanted. They built it. God destroyed the earth. They survived, and they started over. My cousins, they lost a full-term baby just before Christmas. And the baby's heart just stopped beating. Every indication up to that point is he was fine, he was perfect. It was great, they had his name. Grant's memorial service was on December 29th. But for my cousins, you know, they can only imagine what their life would have been like watching Grant grow up with his two brothers. They can only imagine, as, you know, the first line of the song says, I can only imagine what it'll be like when I walk by your side. And of course, meaning Jesus, but think about those that we've lost. Think about those that we're planning on meeting again, that we imagine being able to walk by their sides. You know, God gave humanity many things when he created us, and imagine is one of those gifts. The ability to look out and imagine what could be. You know, you look out at a dirt lot, or you look out at this, you know, any town that's having problems and stuff, and imagine we could do God's work there. It all works that way. You know, have you ever heard someone tell another person, you know, I can imagine what you're feeling, or I know what you're feeling? Be very, very careful when you say that. Because if you haven't had it, you can't really imagine it. And you certainly don't know what they're feeling. And even if you have, my loss of family is different from your loss of family. And so, you know, and we all have made that mistake at least once in our life, I'll bet you. But we need to not do that. That and stay away from the verse, you know, God does all things for good. You know, stay away from that one in times of tragedy. That's not what they want to hear. Because the next thing coming back in your direction faster than you sent it will be, oh yeah, well, how is God going to make the dying of my son better? Don't put that on yourself or anybody else. You just want, get them talking. Just help them to talk, because talking helps to relieve the pain and the stress. Unless they don't want to, then just sit there with them. Because experience by following God's command. Genesis 12:1-3. Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family. Leave Hesperia and go to Victorville. I'm sorry, that's the Bill Peters version. And from your father's house to a land that I will show you. That would really be down below. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Try that one on in your imagination. What on earth could God mean? What could Abraham and Sarah have imagined about all that? And they were old already.
And God was going to make them a great nation. And they didn't even have a son, which Abraham pointed out could be a problem. But Abram said,